Members of the media, good morning. Firstly, I want to apologize. We received a request from some of the media houses that there is a press conference at the Mandela Foundation starting at 11 o'clock. It was going to impact on us starting at 12 o'clock. And hence, we ask for indulgence that we should start at 12:30. If there's any inconvenience that has been caused, I really apologize. But also, very important, before I start, I want to deal with one aspect which was confusing, is that of the member of the security that was kicked at the stadium. I've been reading the media, and I've been told that, you know, there's a lady that has been kicked, and it happened that, you know, the person that was kicked was Mr. Sabela Maziba, who's age is 32, and he had head injuries, but was treated in the hospital and discharged. The only lady that was reported to us was one who was over the drinking limit, you know, and was paralytic. When she was taken to hospital, they refused to accept her in hospital. He was sent to sleep over in the police station, and she was released, you know, yesterday morning. And the name of that person was Toby Lengo. So I thought I must clear that part first before I can speak. But also to indicate that, you know, in terms of the patients that were transported to the hospital, was one Innocent Mkize, male of 28, with head injuries with deep lacerations to paralental region, and Kumbulani Kwabe, age 40, chest trauma and injury on the right eye, the security officer, and Mr. Sabela Maziba, which I've already mentioned, Sihle Mabheka, male 28 years old, with head injuries, Vali Paula Sibaya, male 22, fracture right hand and side finger. Patients that were treated and discharged at the stadium room is Howard Mutlong, male 41, deep lacerations to the frontal region, Funom Tetwa, male 37, head injuries, Dilani Ndlovu, male 38, head injuries, Bekani Zindela, male 31, hematoma to frontal and lacerations to the neck, Sibusiso Mazibuko, male 45 years old, pains to left arm with abrasions, Vugani Butelezi, male 33, pains to lip, fever and back pains, Bagabantu Kwele, male 29, chest trauma, Moses Munguni, male 36, head injuries, Zondile Zikali, male 38, facial injuries. Telabantu Kwele, male 43, head injuries. Mandlakayi Sekhonqo, 48, general body pains. Mkonzeni Bengu, male 39, open abrasions to the left knee. A known female around 35, that is a lady I've already mentioned, that was intoxicated. Luazi Simelani, male 26, pain to the left arm. Sibongiseni Nzimande, male 51, deep lacerations at left foot. For the record, at this point, nobody is deceased. The league is shocked, extremely concerned about the acts of serious violence and criminality that occurred after the final whistle at the Nedbank Cup final between Kaizer Chiefs Football Club and Free State Stars Football Club at Moses Mabhida Stadium on Saturday night. Ladies and gentlemen, from the outset, I want to make it loud and clear that there is no place, no justification for violence in football or in our society, no place. The damage that these senseless acts of violence cause take more than a generation to correct. These acts are not coincidental. They are deliberate, premeditated, and orchestrated by people whose aim is criminality and the infringement of the majority who are peace-loving and law-abiding. We have called this media conference to publicly apologize to the nation and bring all the stakeholders up to date on the status of the events following the violence in and around Motsi Mabhida Stadium on Saturday. We apologize to Nedbank, the tournament sponsor, and all the sponsors associated with the clubs and the league. We apologize to all those that were injured. We apologize to the broadcasters, SABC and SuperSport, and attack of the media and damage of equipment are unacceptable criminal acts that should never be tolerated. It is therefore important in our addressing of these events of violent incidences that we take into consideration the motive and irreparable harm that these criminals seek to inflict on our football and society. I'm deliberately and consciously going beyond football because there is a tone of intolerance and violence that is on the rise in our country right now. The imagery on television and in newspapers is not good for our nation, both domestically and abroad. The recruitment for participation by society on social media in a manner that seeks to justify violence is dangerous. If you do not stop this rising tide of destruction, it will destroy the fiber of our nation. It is particularly important that the perpetrators of this violence are not seen to be getting away with the criminality they inflict to the majority that is peace-loving and law-abiding. Condemnation by words alone is not enough. Action, both preventative and remedial, is crucial. From the PSL side, I would like everybody to know that these incidents are happening at a time when the PSL executive is in discussion with the political parties and the executive branch of government with a particular view to forge an understanding by the law and policymakers in our country of our business, its contribution to the economy and the well-being of our people, and the challenges we face. Key amongst the challenges we face is the security at matches as regulated by the Safety at Sports and Recreational Events Act, the SASRIA of 2010. Let me say right up front that the league takes its general and legislative responsibilities to, among others, ensuring the safety of the law-abiding, valid ticket-holding members of the public, players, officials, match support staff who are present at league sanctioned football matches very seriously. At this juncture, it will be premature of me to comment in details on the said events of Saturday night, including the reasons for it. From the league's perspective, there will be a thorough and expeditious investigation into the incidents at Motsi Mabhida Stadium, including the events leading up to it, in terms of, among others, the league's administrative misconduct and prosecution procedures. That all being said, what the league is prepared to state now is that it has the following: its identification of a disturbing, recent and increasing trend of serious acts of criminality and public violence by criminal elements at high attendance local professional football matches, particularly involving teams with large supporter bases, recently taken a number of official steps. The first of these steps, as part of the league's commitment to improving public safety at local professional football matches, was to embark on a public safety and security enhancement project. This project is aimed at assisting and further empowering member clubs and the league, particularly those officials responsible for safety and security in a practical manner in connection with their legislative responsibilities to secure the general public who attend their home fixtures at their chosen home venues. To this end, it has recently appointed our country's leading private sector major risk and compliance legislation advisor to professionally assist with its task. From the 16th of May to the 20th, all the clubs in the country, they've been blocked in groups where these things are taking place. And the second step of it is taking some time in June until late, you know, early in January, July of this year. The more important steps taken by the league, however, having noted the disturbing increasing level of criminality and public violence at certain local professional football matches, was a recent official engagement by the League with our new Honourable Minister of Safety and Security and Sport. The meeting was held on the 29th of March 2018 with the Minister in his capacity, among others, as the custodian of our country's legislation which regulates public safety at events, the Safety of Sports and Recreation Events Act of 2010. It was held here in these offices of the PSA. It was agreed at this meeting that follow-up meetings would be held as part of the commencement of a joint process to address the serious public safety matters that were discussed and raised at that meeting. At that meeting, the League, among others, raised as its very real concern regarding its view that the increasing levels of violence and criminality in our society were manifesting themselves at a certain high attendance professional football matches involving elevated risk levels. The League is also grappling with the issue of culpability of member clubs when such serious criminal incidents occur at PSL sanctioned matches. Is the member club or the League, for that matter, responsible for the criminal acts or acts of public violence, or worse, on the part of non-compliant spectator just because he or she is wearing the shirt of a club of concern? By far, the majority of the tens of millions of football supporters who attend football matches are peaceful, law-abiding and fun-loving citizens. It is the League's view that the criminal element which hides among these supporters, a relatively small number, must be identified, arrested and prosecuted to the full extent of the law by the authorities. Spectator exclusion notices must be issued by the police in terms of the SASRIA Act. If we want to really deal with this problem, a strong message must be sent out that such criminal behavior which puts the lives and property of law-abiding members of the public at risk, the authorities have the League's and its member clubs' utmost commitment to assist where possible. The authorities, with the identification of this criminal element which is smashing our country's name and bringing the beautiful game of football into disrepute, it cannot be allowed to continue. It is a fact that public safety risk at local professional football matches, events around the country, has been escalating, and it was incumbent on the PSL in its capacity as both controlling body and occasionally event organizer, league-sponsored knockout tournaments such as the Nedbank Cup, to bring to the attention of the honorable ministers having involving aspects of the administration of the act by the SAPS, which in its considered opinion are impacting negatively on the compliance with SASRIA. In particular, the League also raised certain shortfalls regarding the consistent practical implementation of SASRIA by certain components of the SAPS, and I do not generalize here, as I recognize that there are pockets of excellence within the state security, major event security environment, and local professional football matches. Among others, the following matters which may have relevance regarding the shocking and disturbing events on Saturday were raised by the League with the Minister. One, failure by the authorized member and VOC commander or SAPS to deploy adequate policing, deployment of state security service officials, commensurate with the match risk faced, it is regulated events as contemplated by Section 24 of SASRIA. Lack of budget, resources and payments of overtime are often given as reasons why SAPS officials and travel schemes are not available. Two, in this regard, it must be noted that the SAPS has a legislated responsibility in terms of both Section 205 of our Constitution and SASRIA to provide adequate policing for medium and high-risk football matches in the form, having regard to the SAPS categorized risk for that match, of necessary security measures and deployments. This is why SAPS officials chair Event Safety and Security Planning Committee, avoc commanders, and in terms of SASRIA, retain ultimate authority and to direct measures relating to safety and security at professional matches. As we know, Section 205 of our Constitution places a responsibility on SAPS to, among others, prevent, combat, and investigate crime, to maintain public order, to protect the general public and their property, and to uphold and enforce the law. Four, insufficient number of and strategic deployments, positioning of experienced SAPS public order unit members at matches where a known escalation of safety and security risk has occurred in the lead-up to match, such as the match on Saturday night. Five, in the event that the SAPS, through its authorized member, has reasons to believe that they cannot provide adequate policing for a medium or high-risk categorized football match, such as where multiple events are being hosted in the same jurisdiction, they are obliged to immediately advise the league and the member club involved with a view among others, discussing the possibility of postponing the match until the such match there is a position to do so. You remember Saturday there was a big event next to us. It was a rugby match, the Stormers were playing, and there was another one, the Grand, you know, White Parade that was also taking place, which I don't know how it impacted. That's why we're waiting on the report on that one. Event and safety security planning committees are often left hanging in the air till the last moment as far as the confirmation by sub-authorized member or VOC commander regarding the number of sub-officials that will be deployed to provide adequate policing at matches. Unfortunately, this often occurs at capacity, potentially challenging professional football matches such as the one held at Mosman Beach on Saturday. Reluctance by subs to amend event risk categorization for large capacity league and member club matches from medium risk to high risk when pre-event risk circumstances have changed. High risk categorized matches require, among others, much higher levels of state security involvement. Age, reluctance on the part of the authorized member, VOC commanders, and sub-officials deployed on the ground at football matches to enforce the criminal provisions of the Act and the criminal law in general, pitch invasions, public violence, malicious damage to property, set of counterfeit and complementary tickets at stadiums, venue, failure to abide by directives of the ESSPC and VOC officials attempt to open or force emergency gates, set of counterfeit merchandise, ambush marketing, high levels of public intoxication, violence between spectators, throwing of missiles, etc. 9, reluctance on the part of authorized member and or VOC commanders to call for an issue prohibition notice in Section 21 of the Act and exclusion notice in Section 22 of the Act. With the league's knowledge, there has not been an issue of one of these notices in respect of problematic spectators or groups of spectators on the existence of unsafe public safety conditions at the stadium or venue since the inception of the Act 8 years ago. In many cases, authorized members and VOC commanders are not ensuring that proper event-specific ESP planning, event safety, security plans and VOC plans commensurate with the event risk categorization for a match are being timelessly prepared and circulated by key ESP role players, including the subs, as required by SASRIA. Such planning and the required ESP meetings are often left to a very late stage. In many cases, authorized member and VOC commanders are not ensuring that proper timers, event-specific pre-event risk assessments are being prepared as part of the planning of the event and safety and security plans in respect of regulated medium risk categorized events. These assessments are often left to the eve of the match. An increasing and incorrect expectation on the part of subs, authorized members and VOC commanders that the private security and safety stewards, which the league and member clubs are required by law to deploy professional football matches, must carry out the constitutional and sustainable responsibilities of the subs. From the league's perspective, once crime or acts of unlawful public violence have been committed in their presence, the subs are required to be properly prepared for and for immediately to act. It must be remembered that private security officers are not peace officers. They do not have the powers of arrest. They are not specifically trained to maintain public order and to counter public violence as such public order policing units are. The league looks forward this further engagement work with our government in order to jointly collaborate to find solutions and bring an end to this unfortunate recent trend of escalating criminality and violence at local football matches. We are the biggest event organizers in the country. The attractiveness of our events is dependent on the safety of our supporters and fans, the sponsors and broadcasters who make football accessible and affordable for its followers. Will stop the association and participation in football when it starts to tarnish their brands. We, the leadership in football, treat every incident seriously because of our recognition of the consequences. Then I leave this to the media. If there's any clarifications that you require, I'm prepared to answer every question.